You are listening to episode number 183 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, the Marvelous Iggy, a.k.a. Ben, or the other way around, depending how you ever want to be. I do what I want. Yeah, deal with it. Joining me from the city of Boston, Massachusetts, whose football team still does not suck to my dismay, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show once again.
Hey, good to be back.
Joining me next is, once again, the man whose team, whose all-state teams lost for the first time in 12 years, Mr. Jonathan Cartwright. Jonathan.
Hey.
Hi, I'm glad to be back, and I'm enjoying my ham sandwich over here and just being quiet.
Ham sandwich.
And of course, that the mysterious voice in the Warriors, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
My name is no longer Taser. I'm going to change it to Mr. John Hamm. I think that shall be my new name, at least for the run of this show. John Hamm.
You're John.
Mr. John Hamm. Tell us what you think
Hamm
about
I
this.
Am. I am Hamm. John Hamm.
His name is Hamm. John Hamm.
John Hamm.
What does that sound like a farmer's name? My name is Hamm. John Hamm. Like,
my name's like, Hamm. John Hamm.
It's like a redneck version of James Bond.
I raise pigs.
Oh, God, I hear this almost every day in some form or another. Yeah.
Bacon and pork shoulder.
Don't forget the grits.
And some grit. Ooh, some grits.
Hey, if you made that kind of delicious food, I wouldn't knock your job at all.
You should never knock a farmer's job.
No, they work hard.
Never, ever.
They work. They wake up earlier than all of us, and they go to bed later than all of us.
And they have hot-looking daughters.
Yeah, they do. How does that happen? How does genetics
work? Work hard, they play hard.
John, you own a ranch, right? You must know.
I wish I owned a ranch, dude. No.
All of Oklahoma is a ranch.
It seems like it.
So that's the Native Americans. Oh!
Oh!
No, no, they have reservations about that, I know. But you still.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's
every time,
right.
Every time
that joke was a gamble.
Away.
Every time John enters any casino, he shouts out Manifest Destiny and they all leave. All right, racism aside.
Come on, I wanna lay ya.
Racism aside, we are the Mighty Warriors 3
Marvel
Podcast.
Boy, these jokes are making me red, man.
You know, Daniel Snyder would approve of this opening.
Hey, dude, we need to call a doctor. Which doctor? No!
Lucky we don't have any listeners from Louisiana. Besides all the silly nonsense, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. This is a podcast, believe it or not, dedicated to all things Marvel. So with that being said, it's time to satisfy your master because Brian has some news for me. Brian, what is the news? Bring the good news, my good lord.
Okay, kiddies. So as we all know, X-Men Apocalypse is happening. Brian Singer at the helm. It will feature the, for lack of a better term, the king of all mutant villains you could possibly imagine, Sir Apocalypse, okay? And Sabanur will be present. Taser's enthused, as you can rightly tell. And
not the first time he's fallen asleep.
The man rumored to be up for the role of Apocalypse, who was recently out of the running for Doctor Strange, none other than Mr. Tom Hardy himself, who you may know as Bane. From the Dark Knight Rises, among other
Hold
things.
Hold on, that was Bane?
Yes.
Really? No, I honestly did not know that. Seriously.
Yes. When Westchester is in ashes.
Get out of town. Oh, shit. I knew him as the guy who got, you know, killed himself in Prometheus. That's where I know him from.
He was also in Inception, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Eames.
I've never seen Inception, so I wouldn't know.
I saw Inception. I don't remember him.
Yeah. He was the guy who Leo goes to get in, like, that Moroccan village, and then he ends up getting chased around.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
What's his fit? I don't know. But whatever. Point is, Tom Hardy's up for a quote, an unconfirmed villain role in X-Men Apocalypse, which may, led people to believe it will be
the big, you know, A.
Apocalypse himself,
the
baby.
The Celestial Gardener himself.
God, yo. What is a good
one? Absolutely nothing.
Okay. All right. Because I am the master here, I will go first. I will say, if Tom Hardy plays Apocalypse, I'm not going to do it, I promise. If Tom Hardy plays Apocalypse, I think he could do a fair enough job. He's proven if like they go with the whole he's bulky kind of thing and they just add him to make him look bigger with CGI, he can pull it off.
Look at Lee Pace, so fair enough.
Yeah, so he could do it. The role I would like to see him is actually my second favorite X-Men villain is Mr. Sinister Nathaniel Essex himself, who I think that's the actual role. I think that's who Tom Hardy's actually going to play. And I think he could do a good enough job of playing the sinister geneticist himself. I think he could be great.
He could be the sinister mister?
Well, I mean, like, in a lot of, you know, Apocalypse stories, Sinister just happens to be a play. Because he either A, to backstab Apocalypse, or B, to backstab Apocalypse. I think it could be a cool wrench in the throw that we actually, you know, they haven't really played with that. The X-Men villains for the most part have pretty much been, you know, Magneto, 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 Trask, Magneto, Magneto, Magneto.
So don't forget some Mystique sprinkled in there too.
And so. Magneto, 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 Magneto.
And I personally think I would actually like to.
Don't forget Kevin Bacon.
Oh yeah, Kevin Bacon. Everybody forgets the bacon. Everybody forgets the bacon.
I'm a pork farmer. Ham and bacon.
He was great as what was it? Sebastian Shaw's character's name, right?
Yeah. See, the thing I think is that with the first big movies, when you've got fucking Ian McKellen playing Magneto, you don't need another villain. But then when you have Michael Fassbender, fine actor that he is, you need to pad it out.
Well, I mean, the thing is, not even that. It's just more of, let's not do the Superman thing where we use Zod every fucking time or Lex Luthor every single time.
I'm with him on that.
I love Ian McKellen.
Every effing movie, that's retarded.
And I loved Ian McKellen as Magneto, and I liked Ian McKellen more in the second one because he wasn't necessarily the main focused bad guy. He did become it. But for the most part, he reluctantly had to work with the X-Men, and that was interesting. But when he reversed back to when he became the lead antagonist again for X3, it was like, this shit again? Really? You couldn't find, like, especially when you talk about the Cure, that would have been a perfect time for freaking Sinister to be behind it all and for him to get his hand on Scott Summers and especially with Jean Grey as the fucking focus. Are you kidding me? Come on, it writes itself. I could have written X-Men 3 better. There, I said it.
You would have added the Shi'ar, and that would have involved aliens.
No, I wouldn't have added
you'd
that.
You'd have fuck people going, huh?
Nobody cares about those people. They don't exist.
What, no Gladiator? Duh.
No, well, I don't even know if they belong to the X-Men. That's the thing. They probably don't.
I think they would.
You think
because,
they? I don't think
the
so.
The Shi'ar and the Imperial, whatever the hell.
But I wouldn't do
They've only
it.
Really
I
shown up
it.
In X-Men books, so I think they're part of the property.
Probably. Well, they haven't done anything with it yet, so... But easy to say, it's basically Magneto's great. I love Magneto. Who doesn't love the Master of Magnetism? But come on, there's plenty of other people you can draw from. We also forgot about Stryker. He's also been a villain too. But
Brood?
Yeah.
No, Brood.
Brood?
The Brood. The aliens. They That'd put them cool. eggs in you and they grew it. They grow in and they take your power.
Yeah, no, I know what
you knocked up Kitty Pryde?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then they tried to convert Wolverine, but his healing factor beat the implant.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to see the Brood, but they aren't. I think
the Reapers, Cyborg Reapers.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I think that's infringement on Mass Effect territory.
Manhunters. No. 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 No.
Reavers are. That's not entirely a Mass Effect thing, bro. Either way,
yes,
I think either way, I think he's going to end up playing Nathaniel Essex, and I don't even think they'll call him Mr. Sinister. They might call him Sinister or say that he is Sinister, but I think they're just going to call him Nathaniel Essex, and that he was found by Apocalypse somewhere along the line because he worshipped. Because, you know, if they go with what I think they're going to go, if they go with the whole he was born, he was young around the time Darwin was doing his thing of preaching about evolution, I think that's what they're going to go with, hopefully, and would make sense. So, Taser, what do you think? Who do you think Tom Hardy should play?
I don't think he would make for a good original flavor, Mr. Sinister. I think the version of the guy that showed up when they relaunched that X-Men book, when they were...
Taser said it too!
What?
Nice! I said that exact same thing before you got on.
Which was
the Sinister, right? The from the relaunch, the Kieron Gillen one.
Yeah. I think he would be better for that one because original flavor Sinister was, you know, armored and all, and I've got a genetic blah 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 blah. Scott Summers, the Summers line, blood. I want the blood. There's something powerful about the Summers. Whatever. the relaunch, Kieron Gillen version. He had other goals that you couldn't figure out because he tended to be – his thoughts tended to think way outside the box. So you had to jump through a whole bunch of hoops just to kind of figure out what the F he was going on about. I think Tom Hardy would work better playing that version of the character because less emphasis was placed on his physicality and his presence and more about his machinations. And that, I think, works in Tom Hardy's favor. Because if they tried to go for, and granted, we're talking movies, and the movies, all comic book movies tend to dumb everything down to a ridiculous amount. But if they went with the original version, I'm going to look for him to get into fights, you know, serious fights. The reboot kind of one, you know, when they were after that celestial that's lying asleep there in freaking San Francisco or whatever. That guy was a bit like Arcade, you know, where he had a bunch of different things going on and they're tripping over themselves trying to get ahead of whatever it is he's doing. And, I really think Tom Hardy would work better doing that version of the character. I think that works better for him. Yeah, that's it.
I was hoping one of the other two would pick up the slack instead of me having to hold their hands.
Honey.
Blue Beetle, what are you thinking?
I ought to smack you and turn you.
Well, I was talking to Bri over there. Okay. Freaking Blue Beetle avatar.
Oh, yes. Tom Hardy going for Apocalypse. Yes. Yes, well, you say Apocalypse is necessary, but... And so, when Westchester is in ashes, then Charles Xavier has my permission to die.
You sure you don't mean Wolverine?
No, I don't mean Wolverine.
Charles Xavier.
Yeah, Charles Xavier can I. Anywho, I actually like him for Sinister better. I would be much more satisfied if they got... I know this is going to sound weird. Just get an actual Egyptian actor to play Apocalypse.
Oh, now you sound like one of those people.
I know, and I don't like to sound that way, but that's honestly how
I don't
want to
see Exodus because Moses is being played by a white man.
What the fuck is Exodus?
It's a new movie by Ridley Scott.
I have no desire to see that.
Ten Commandments is the same thing.
We live in 2014. That means we have to be reflective of all people's cultures.
I hate to tell you this, but just about every biblical movie has been played by Caucasian actors.
Tell that to the audience.
Even though it's supposed to be in Africa and in the Middle East. So.
Tell that to the paid writers, paid ones, by the way, who want to bitch at everything for being too white.
Look, I already said I don't want to sound like that.
Look at Avatar.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, I mean, do I need to go there? You know, last year, come on.
You opened the can of worms, Bri. You asked for...
You won't even let me pick up the slack and try and defend it.
No. Go for
Although,
it.
Although, I do kind of agree with Bri, only in that I would like to see somebody who's at least physically imposing.
He's blue.
Doesn't need to be Egyptian.
He's blue.
But it's called face paint. you know, like they do with Lee Pace. They need somebody big.
You know, Taser, you had a segment to talk about all this shit that you didn't use, so why don't you just back the hell up for a second and let me finish what I'm fucking saying?
I'm sorry.
Damn. You just laid the smack at them.
Anywho. Like I said, I do.
So as I was saying before, I don't think that.
Mother!
Continue.
I prefer briefly. Tom Hardy as Mr. Sinister, and I concede that the whole thing about him having to be Egyptian is kind of, it's not my argument to pick, but that being said, I'll actually agree with something someone who talked over me 5 seconds ago said, that perhaps they should at least get someone more physically imposing, and that doesn't mean buff, that means big and tall, and also with a little bit of weight to it. So you know, you have... What? Well, no.
Batista.
No, well,
you get Batista to be Apocalypse.
No. Look, if I'm gonna
Goldberg.
Tremble and... What?
Goldberg.
No, not Goldberg.
Is he too white?
No, he did.
But after seeing him do Santa Slay, I can't see him doing anything seriously anymore.
He did Santa Slay?
You know, you know what it is, though? If Hollywood wasn't so obsessed with young and pretty people filling these roles, honestly, I'd probably say give me Tony Todd as Apocalypse. I would buy him as Apocalypse, okay?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
I don't think I could. I'd say give me Kamala, the Ugandan headhunter. There you go.
Who the fuck was that? Is that a wrestler?
Wrestling history.
Oh, my God. Really?
I do the belly
really? Really?
Belly slaps for the win.
You know what? Why don't you just get Jason Momoa? He's brownish.
Nah, he's too busy playing a fish.
Oh!
Speaking of which, that's you. I was going to actually suggest Jason Momoa as Apocalypse.
Okay, if he wasn't playing a fish, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, well.
But he's already playing a fish. Yeah. Half fish. The gay
fish. He's playing an Atlantean, you gay ass.
No, that's Kanye.
Oh, he's playing a gay fish.
You know what? Knowing how insane Kanye is, he might listen to this, and we might get a cease and desist order, in which case I'll...
You know what? And hey, Kanye, I saw your wife have sex. There you go. Not with you either.
Lol. All right. John, you go. Brian, are you done? Are you done bitching?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. Egyptian motherfucker. All right, John. Go for it, Johnny.
Okay. Actually, I do agree that I think I would like to see Tom Hardy as Mr. Sinister. Any version would be cool. I loved him as Bane, and I personally think, when you all were mentioning it, I would like to see Jason Momoa as Apocalypse. I think he would do well. Granted, he's going to be Aquaman, which I think is one of the biggest miscasts in that movie, but. Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant cast. Are you kidding me?
Well, I just can't see him with blonde hair. That would just be wrong.
He's not going to dye his hair blonde.
He's a better Submariner than freaking...
Yeah, I agree with that. But
Submariner is pasty white, okay? Don't even get me started.
Yeah, and Arthur Curry is that much darker. Please, come on.
I'm just saying, of the two, I would give him a fair shake at Aquaman because, you know, the thing about Namor is he's a little bitch. So, you know, there's that.
No. He killed planets when nobody else would step up.
Yeah, but physically speaking, he's a little bit. He's got little wingies on his ankles that make him go
flat.
So did
Captain America. He had him on his head. What? Holla at me. What? The Flash's got him on his booties.
He's got lightning bolt. They're totally different.
And Namor wore red high tops back in the early
80s. And Jake Garrick had him on his smaller boots. He had wings on his boots. There you go.
Did he really?
Anyway.
Yes, he did.
Ansley, get it back on topic here.
What topic?
I know. I was about to break out the ham sandwich joke with Manwich and Brian.
Just get on with it, John.
Yeah.
Stop trying to go for the shock humor. No one's buying it.
Oh, if I'm going to go for shock humor, I could wait.
Oh, just.
But anyway.
Go on.
Anyway. I would like to see. I agree. I think Tom Hardy would be an excellent choice for Sinister, and whoever they pick for Apocalypse, at least make sure, you know, it's somebody who can be big and imposing but can also act, because I don't want to see them try to pull a pro wrestler who's had no
John Cena for Apocalypse.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm going to have to turn you into a wet bat blackjack for that, dude. That was wrong. That was wrong.
Randy Orton for Mr. Sinister.
Oh, Big John Studd for Mr. Sinister.
He's dead.
Dig him
Triple
up.
H is that one vampire from that Blade movie.
Oh, dear God.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He's bald.
Oh, dear God.
But he's
what?
Also
okay,
Texan.
Okay,
we're
going to do that. Look, I'm going to...
He has in here, Maxman. I must have a mud hole in your ass and walk at you. Give me a hell yeah. Come on, you can get people to the Stone Cold Stunner? Yeah, there you go for the win.
It'd be the first time actually Apocalypse had to be forced to win in a movie. I don't know. He won't let us offset until we let him win. Okay.
Jesus.
All
Just
right.
Make sure you don't hurt his back.
Oh, jeez.
Damn.
Next subject, please. I'm done. Right. I tap.
We need to do a wrestling podcast.
I wouldn't mind it. All right, so let's move on to my other favorite superhero, Doctor Strange. Brian, take it away.
Okay, kid.
Close the fuck off.
What? Okay, so as you may have heard recently in the news, Joaquin Phoenix is no longer in the running for the role of Stephen Strange, Doctor Strange. Yeah, he's exited negotiations. He's no longer in the role. And allegedly now, coming out of Marvel's camp, is that everybody who you thought was being rumored for the role now is no longer being rumored for the role, which isn't entirely true, but we'll get to that. They're saying that now they have a brand new short list, which isn't that short. It actually features quite a few actors, but we'll get to that in a second. So there's this list of actors who they are rumored for the role to take on Doctor Strange, who Marvel is allegedly pursuing. Who does this include? Well, rumors of Ethan Hawke, apparently. Remember when they dropped word about him possibly being the counterpoint to Joaquin Phoenix, and then they're like, oh, no, nobody who were rumored before that will get it now. Well, he's still in the mix, as is. Jared Leto, Oscar Isaac, Matthew McConaughey, Ewan McGregor, Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Gosling, Colin Farrell, Benedict Cumberbatch, Keanu Reeves, and also Justin Theroux.
Who's Justin Theroux again?
He's that guy who's engaged to Jennifer Aniston, who I don't think has been in anything of significant note. So, brief synopsis for everybody. Jared Leto was in that Dallas Buyers Club movie where he played.
Or how about they can just look at their IMDb's? Let's move on.
No.
We're not wasting time.
Finish reading the list.
Anywho, Jared Leto, who won an Oscar for his role in Dallas Buyers Club, Oscar Isaac, who's a favorite of the Coen brothers, who was just most recently inside Llewyn Davis, Matthew McConaughey, needs no introduction, Ewan McGregor, who played Obi-Wan in the Star Wars prequels, Jake Gyllenhaal, who played Ethan Hawke, who was in Richard Linklater's Boyhood film. That's not an actual, like, his Boyhood film. It's actually a film called Boyhood, go figure. Ryan Gosling, again, a guy who needs really no introduction. Colin Farrell, who was a Bullseye, but I did come back to his Sherlock. Keanu Reeves, who is Neo. And Justin Theroux, who is Jennifer Aniston's boy toy.
You forgot a name.
I thought I grabbed everybody. Who did I miss?
No, Paul Walker is Firestarter.
God!
Son of a... Can we edit that out? Can we please edit that out?
I don't censor people. All right. So let's, okay. One, I think, okay. Calm down, boys. Benedict Cumberbatch is my number one pick. If I could have a fantasy thing, I think he could be great. I will go on record saying that I loved him in Star Trek Wrath of Khan 2.5. No laughs, fuck you assholes. now they laugh. I think he could be a good Doctor Strange. Matthew McConaughey, I think, could do it. You know, I love Matthew McConaughey. He's been great.
Hey, Baron Mordo, stop with that stuff, man.
Host of Hoggoth, man.
Hey, he's a Texan, so I have to support Matthew. So go Matthew for Doctor Strange, baby.
That's bullshit. Even I can separate Marky Mark from any shit project he's just done.
You haven't seen Matthew McConaughey is greatness.
How is he great? You know, a decade ago he was doing Sahara, which nobody heard of. He does one good movie and all of a sudden everyone's all over his dick.
Contact was a good movie and it had him in it.
Watch, like look, because the ladies love the McConaughey, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
All right, all right.
I'm pretty sure the ladies love all right.
And what was that thing where Sandra Bullock got her ass beat?
I don't even remember.
With Samuel Jackson and Matthew McConaughey? The other one where Samuel Jackson was accused of, like, some guys raped his daughter, and he's accused of...
Oh, dear God, I know which one you're talking about, yeah.
He was great in Tropic Thunder, though. I love McConaughey.
Didn't see it.
So look it up later. I would not mind Matthew McConaughey as Doctor Strange. Although he should play Adam Warlock if I had my ultimate pick.
He looks more Adam Warlocky.
It's because of the hair.
No. You know who he would play? You know who he'd be excellent as?
Who?
Aquarian.
Yeah, nobody's heard of Aquarian, so that doesn't matter anymore. Okay, and then one, I know Ryan Gosling will not do it because I think he doesn't want to do sequels for anything. So I don't think he'll do it because definitely Marvel's going to make him sign for sequels. So
why doesn't he want to do sequels?
I think he has a problem with it. Like, he doesn't want to get attached to, like, doing one project, which I can understand. He doesn't want to.
Yeah, I guess I get that from if you want to go off and do other stuff.
He wants to do interesting things, and he doesn't want to be limited, I guess. And not everybody likes to be playing a superhero constantly like RDJ does.
Who wouldn't?
Well, some people, you know. Christian Bale did it for 3 movies and bailed. Although I think if they did 4, he would have been back happily. I think if they asked him, he would have said yes on the spot.
No, he wouldn't have, because he had to go lose like 95 pounds and
for what?
Look like, you know, an Ethiopian.
Oh.
Oh, the Machinist.
What? No, that came out after Batman.
That's what I'm saying. So he couldn't have, you know, done it. He was working on that project. It would have been after that.
Whatever. Okay, the point is, Ryan Gosling's not going to do it. Besides, he should play Matt Murdock, but he's not, so my dream is shattered. But if I had to pick, I'd go with Benedict. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Sherlock, really?
Yeah, I like him. He's good. I think he could do it.
No, I mean, he's a good actor. That's fair. But honestly, for Doctor Strange, I don't see him.
I think he could do it.
I mean, he could do it. I don't think
he could act it. I don't doubt that, but I don't see him as Stephen Strange.
Well,
no. My personal favorite out of the bunch is Ewan McGregor. I mean, Obi-Wan, man. Obi-Wan.
That's the thing. I'd rather him just be Obi-Wan. And I know that, you know why that's not going to happen? Because they're going to sign his ass up to do Obi-Wan spinoffs.
No,
and
they won't.
Cameo experience. And because Alec Guinness is dead, in case you didn't know this.
No, I didn't know. Please tell him about how Alec Guinness is dead.
Yeah, I don't know. He probably died on the toilet or something. I don't fucking know.
That was Elvis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Elvis is the only person who died on the toilet? Really?
The famous one that died on the toilet.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So Alan McGuinness was waging a war with the dark side on the bowl?
Now, for the record,
yeah.
Alec Guinness wouldn't even do it if he was alive because he hated Star Wars.
He hates, yeah.
That's why he did all 3.
Well, after that, he hated the fact that his only known role was for Star Wars.
Yeah, that's
and they paid him out the
because
ass,
he was
too,
a British
man.
Actor who did a lot of stage shit. But over here in the States, they know him from the movies.
Yeah, but
how
he didn't like
dare it. They? Well, fuck Alec Guinness. I'm saying it right now.
Well, I know. Okay, well, back to the Obi-Wan thing. Ewan McGregor is not going to play Doctor Strange because they're probably going to sign him.
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch isn't going to play him either.
Why not? What's he doing? What's he?
He's doing Sherlock.
That's a TV series that takes what?
And he'll be in the next Star Trek movie as Khan.
Yeah, wow. Man.
Depends
on who we get back.
So that means it's all about the McConaughey, man. Yeah.
Now, you know what? I'd like to see Oscar Isaac get a shot at the role.
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
That was he's a favorite of the Coen brothers.
You know what? Fuck it. Kevin Spacey for Doctor Strange. Fuck it. Just do it.
Nah, Kevin Spacey for Dormammu or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, actually wouldn't be like the human avatar for Dormammu.
No.
Yes.
Not Dormammu. Have him for a Baron Mordo.
Who, Kevin Spacey?
Yeah,
that'd be cool. I'm not gonna lie.
Baron Mordo. I think he rocked that a lot.
That'd be awful.
No, he could play that like sniveling, not sniveling.
He's too
but...
old for Baron Mordo.
No,
Baron Mordo is
Baron
old.
Baron Mordo was older than Strange.
Yes, he was already training.
As a
years.
Matter of fact, you take
Kevin Spacey's he's inside of 50. Okay, he's not going to be doing Baron Mordo.
He just has to stand there and wave
Baron
his hand
Mordo
around.
Doesn't do martial arts, dude. What are you talking about?
No, look, if you're gonna do Baron Mordo, hell, put Benedict Cumberbatch as Baron Mordo before you put Cumberbatch.
You had to have some kind of evil.
From that Superman movie, put him here. His Luthor would be an excellent Baron Mordo.
No, it wouldn't.
Hair. Yes.
Yeah, he would.
Yes.
Lex Luthor is too strong-willed to play as Baron Mordo.
You don't know.
Baron Mordo's a double dealing dickhead. He
exactly.
He's
okay, Brian. Coward.
Baron Mordo would just as soon stab Dormammu in the head as serve him.
But the thing is, he never has the power to. He is always the guy slinking around in the background trying to find the upper hand, but never ultimately gets it.
You don't know much about Baron Mordo, do you? You don't know a lot. Well, obviously, I'm going to pull the fan card. You don't know shit. You don't know what you're talking about because you never read anything about Baron Mordo. Boom!
You know what? I don't need to. When you're defending it so poorly, I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Oh!
Come at me, Doctor Strange fanboy.
Look, the point is, Kevin Spacey could do an excellent job at playing Baron Mordo. I think he could do great with that role. I think he could have so much fun with it.
Let me just say, if you're not going to make Oscar Isaac fucking whatever his name is, Doctor Strange, hell, make him Parker Robbins. Make him the fucking Hood. Give him something.
No.
It's too good an actor for this shit.
But he can do other things. If he's a good actor.
Actually, I think Cumberbatch could be the Hood.
No.
He could be the Hood.
No.
No.
You can know it all you want. I still think he could be the Hood.
All right, but seriously, Kevin Spacey for Baron Mordo. Make that shit happen.
That's not a serious claim. We here at the Marvel Universe do not endorse that.
I back that up. I second it.
All right. And then, of course, the McConaughey for Dr. Strange.
Wait, I think we should let John say something. John's just been sitting quietly in the corner. John, back me up here.
If it was somebody, Ehrman, I think that RDJ could do Stephen Strange.
Everybody in the internet has said that. Everybody. Okay.
Fair enough. Good point. Good point.
I would like to say I'd like to see Odette Ferrer, the guy that was in the Mummy films.
Get an ethnic up in this piece.
Yeah. No, not even ethnic. He's a good actor. You know, he played
He's saving white people on Covert Affairs.
He's saving white blonde girls. Yeah.
Then I would like to see Vin Diesel as Dormammu with a case of propane as a tribute to Paul Walker. And then I would like to see RZA.
Can we just take this seriously for 5 goddamn seconds without a Paul Walker joke? Can we just?
And then
do
I'd like to see RZA as the Ancient One.
Oh my God!
Nobody wants that. Not even I want that.
That is the worst casting. I'm saying worst casting ever. Congratulations, John. You win.
What's wrong with the RZA? You're saying a black man can't play an ancient Chinese?
You're damn straight.
Yes, no, you can't.
He's supposed to be fucking Chinese.
Yeah. You not see G.I. Joe Retaliation? He played an ancient Japanese dark skin.
And nobody bought it. Nobody wanted to go see it. Nobody cared.
Man with the iron arms. Iron fists.
And not only that, but the RZA fought Tony Jaa in The Protector 2, and I do mean he fought him and actually gave him problems.
I'm laughing. All right, John, for reals, go.
Yeah, but for real, yeah, I'd love to see Odette Ferrer and as Doctor Strange.
Everybody's on that. Oh,
he's a good actor.
He's a good actor. That's what I'm looking for.
I didn't see him.
When I see Doctor Strange, that's who I envision. For Baron Mordo, Kevin Spacey wouldn't be a bad choice. Because, you know, he would fit that, you know, especially if you go with the earlier run of the Stan Lee Ditko Mordo.
You know what? Fine. If Kevin Spacey's going to be Mordo, you know what? I have my own demand to make. Give me Jeff Bridges as the fucking Ancient One. I want to see it.
He's dead.
That's not bad.
But he's already played a
Jeff
character.
Jeff Bridges is not dead.
Well, Boy no, Bridges but his character he's played is dead, so he can't come
the
back.
The dude abides.
Yeah, but he could be a ghost, so big fucking deal.
Oh, so, Obadiah Stane is the Ancient One. You've heard it first. Stane is
the Ancient One, everybody.
Yeah, he wears a handpiece. No big worries.
Hey, didn't I see you on the news? No, other guy.
Okay. And then we can get RDJ to play Stephen Strange. And it'll be like the weirdest reunion ever.
Flynn as the Ancient One is not a bad idea.
Find him in like a martial arts studio. Hey, man. You want to learn the ancient ways, man?
And here's some video games while you're at it.
First, I need to be a white Russian. Hang on a second, man.
And he has to. No, that's another character. All right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, but
you got really off track with that.
Really, I'm not sure about Dormammu. You know, all
I don't think they shouldn't do Dormammu.
Not until the third movie.
Yeah.
You know, no, but you know what? They don't need to cast Dormammu. Dormammu could just be like
a voice.
Anything. Yeah, just voiced and be a presence without actually being a character.
If we did voice, I'd like to see James Earl Jones.
He would
be David.
Wait, that,
Keith David would be cool.
That's not bad.
Or for the unexpected twist,
that's not
Morgan
bad.
Freeman. Dormammu, I want you to kill.
Get Clint Eastwood. Make them all angry and shit.
Clint Eastwood would not be a bad one either. Just get an old dude.
This is Clint Eastwood. Grr, I'm angry.
Get out of my dark dimension.
Grr. That's basically him and Harrison Ford. Grr, I'm old. Grr. No, thank you.
I'm old and mad about my
How can I defeat this monster? Obama.
Ah, Christopher Walken is the ancient one.
Oh, who can do a good Walken impersonation?
Stephen, you got to learn the ancient ways so that you can battle Dormammu.
With a cowbell.
I got a FIFA, and the only solution is
next
more
thing you know is you're going to want Jack Black for Wong.
Oh, Jesus. Do I have to do Jack Black now,
no,
too?
No, you don't have to do Jack Black. I don't think anything.
Yeah!
Just kind of, wait a minute. You walk into
Jack
the
Black as Baron Mordo.
you know, if he could channel what he did in King Kong and go a little higher.
Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't be against it. Everybody and their mother on the internet would hate it though. Would hate it.
There's still two roles that we haven't cast yet.
Which we'll do those later because we're running too long on this. We'll do those later.
Okay.
All right. So apparently, using rehash for a title was last week's episode was a little too early because.
Yeah, it was definitely premature. Because let me tell you, if you thought one or two or three covers was rehashing, oh boy, let me tell you about what we got in the last week alone. We got a rehash of X-Men: Days of Future Past called Years of Future Past. We got a sort of redone Planet Hulk, which is Captain America flying from the mouth of a T-Rex wielding a shield and an axe, fighting off multiple incarnations of the Incredible Hulk. Which
I thought that was Thor, honestly. I really did.
I'm putting my money on Steve Rogers, but that's just me. Following that, we have a cover for Armor Wars, which features a Galactus Iron Man armor. And
what
also...
Fair? In the Marvel Universe, it's canon that Leonardo da Vinci did turn away... No, was it Galileo did turn away Galactus?
I'm pretty sure it was Da Vinci.
Was it Da Vinci?
What, in that shield bullshit?
Yeah,
I don't think anybody's taking that as canon anymore.
No, that's canon.
I'm not treating it as canon.
It's just canon.
The name of New Avengers.
That's true. It's canon, crap. Taser.
It fires balls of metal. That's canon.
Da Vinci canon turned away Galactus first.
And also, there was another rehash, which is House of
You could say it's almost fitting because RDJ is playing Da Vinci in a movie about Da Vinci.
Is he really?
Yes, he actually is.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He's playing Da Vinci in the Assassin's Creed movie. That's what he's doing.
What?
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is going to play Leonardo da Vinci in the Assassin's Creed movie starring Michael Fassbender.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Never mind. Let's just move on. So, yeah, those covers happened.
Okay, I'll say this before. I'll say it again. It's a Marvel multiverse fight. That's what this is going to be. This is clearly what this is going to be. And it's going to be something. Yeah.
I mean, it has to do with Secret Wars, right, or whatever's happening.
Well, I think it's multiple parallel dimensions fighting each other. That's what this shit's gonna be, and there's gonna be a Monitor Ante running around trying to erase everything, and a binge drinker.
I mean, Crisis on multiple Marvel Earths, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
I kind of hope that my hope that the ending of the series is that Excalibur. The X-Men team. Is it Excalibur in Britain?
Excalibur, yeah.
Yeah, that Excalibur from another reality saves the Marvel Universe. That's my dream.
That wouldn't be bad.
Because they're the fuckers who did that first.
Yeah.
So it'd be kinda wrong to not include them in somehow, although they probably won't be a factor at all. So There you go. That's my nut. That's my thoughts. Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck to make about this.
Infinite Marvel Earths, the series.
God, this made me so angry, though. Like, you don't even know.
As long as we get
like, I don't even know why, either, because it's not even that bad. Like, I mean, I'm assuming all this stuff is tied in with what Hickman's doing. Remender, whoever, I guess. But even still, I mean, just the awesomeness of that Planet Hulk cover aside, I just don't know what to make of this. I really don't know what to take away from this.
It's an alternate reality. Just take it as that, and you'll be better for it.
Yeah, I guess, but I just wish we had more of an explanation for what the fuck was going on.
I would like to see them do like what they did with the Amazing Spider-Man 7's backup story, where you, Spidey and his amazing friends got gacked by a.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of deaths because they can't do it because there are other, you know. That's what they did with Crisis. They basically killed everybody who wasn't a main universe character. Well, even then they did. But for the most part, you can kill, say, Cap, but it's Cap from this world, so it's okay.
Hold on. Go back to that Spider-Man thing.
Uh-huh.
You didn't finish.
What's that?
They killed him. That's all there was to it.
And then you have Spidey. There's a Spider-Man that's part of the Captain Britain Corps.
Oh, right. Okay.
There is?
Right. Uh-huh.
Huh.
And then he was told to bugger off because Saturnine was more worried about universes that were all the various incursions that were happening.
I swear to God, when Tomb Raider first came out, that was my first exposure to British culture. I said bugger for like a month straight, and it annoyed the shit out of my family. It was a great time.
But yeah.
Fuck off.
I knew a girl who used to say bugger a lot. I told her what it meant.
What does it mean? I don't even know what it means.
You're basically telling somebody to fuck off.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds much
ass.
More elegant
in the area.
It sounds like way more elegant in the UK than it does say here. I'm going to start saying that now to Americans at Walmart. Fuck off. And they'll never know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they'll think you're putting on a phony British accent.
I won't do the British accent. I'll just say bug off.
Yeah, but that's old school anyway. Bug off is, whatever. Bugger, bugger off is, the same thing. But when you just say bugger, because that's what she did.
Yeah.
And I told her what buggering meant. And, she kind of stopped saying that. Because I kept telling her, you're basically inviting me. And she looked cute, too, so.
Anything else on this topic, guys? Anything else?
Not really.
Yeah,
just...
The Marvel rehash? Yeah. No me gusta.
I probably won't even be reading it for free, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, you will. Soon I make it every single chapter of the book of the week.
I will pitch you in a cardboard box and ship you off to Taiwan if you do that.
Why Taiwan? Why does everybody go to Taiwan? I bet you I can find my USB headset in Taiwan if I try hard enough.
I would send that to Thailand, but then you'd be going. Then you'd learn why they call it Bangkok instead of,
I guess
was that a hangover joke? That seemed like a hangover joke.
I feel like it was. All right, let's move on to the big news. The big news.
Oh, right. So, big news. Okay. So, hey, kids. Robert Downey Jr., word broke a little while ago that he would be playing Iron Man in the forthcoming fourth installment of the popular Marvel comic book series. However, as it was revealed, he was not negotiating to play Iron Man in Iron Man 4, but rather Captain America 3. He'll be co-starring, one of the headliners, in a storyline that will bring Civil War or Fallen Son to the big screen, as it is reported.
Hmm.
And if you know your Marvel Comics events, that's some serious shit.
It's interesting that they're going to break up the team right before they can get to fight Thanos.
Yeah.
So I'm calling
it... Who said that they'll be the one to fight Thanos? I really don't think that was the case.
They're going to fight Thanos. They're going to fight Thanos. Come on.
Yeah, and Infinity Gauntlet.
They're
That'll be that movie. It'll be Infinity Gauntlet.
All right, well, we'll have to get to that eventually. They'll call it Avengers Infinity Gauntlet. That's what they're going to call it.
Yeah, that might be that.
Because they call the freaking Guardians the Galactic Avengers anyway, so.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, I'll go ahead and say it right now. The end involve. If I'm pitching this right, if I'm not pitching, but if I'm guessing right, the end will be Cap dead, because it's going to end with Cap's death. And it's going to be, since we already have Nick Fury on the run, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have a director or much of anything. You fuckers watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know what their deal is.
Yeah, what about it?
Actually, we have Coulson is in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now.
Okay, so he's the acting director of S.H.I.E.L.D., but...
He is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
okay, so, yes. But mark my words, at the end of Cap 3, you will see Tony Stark on top of Capitol Hill or wherever they decide to have it, being sworn in as director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nah, won't
no,
happen.
No, watch. If they did won't it in happen. The fucking comics, they're going to do it here. Not saying that it won't not happen. Saying not saying that I want it to happen, but I would not be surprised, considering how the rhetoric I've read on articles that Tony blames himself for creating Ultron and all these other things, and that MASH we should be patrolled. I would not be surprised if he reluctantly takes the job of director of S.H.I.E.L.D. I would not be surprised if they did that. Not saying they will do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did go there. But that's the thing. I think they could. That's just where all the signs to me are pointing. As what? Tell me, why do you not think they will?
Well,
do that?
A, you have Maria Hill, who already works for Stark Enterprises,
and in the comics, she got superseded by Tony as well. So there you go.
Yeah, but this is the movies.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And in the comics, I don't think she didn't get superseded by Tony as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Tony was the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Maria wasn't. Tony became director of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Civil War. I remember because I read those Iron Man comics. Maria Hill was his sub director. She hated working for Tony Stark.
Okay, I'm not going to argue that. I honestly don't remember it, but I won't argue it. I don't think they'll do that for the movie because that's too complicated.
How is it too complicated? He becomes director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nothing complicated
about
that.
How?
He gets... Because he's fucking Iron Man. There you go. That's what the president's going to say. Why should we appoint this man as the head of...
Yeah, the president has nothing to do...
Okay, the world can't... The security council.
You've seen...
The security council
Winter Soldier,
people.
Because the government has a real love for Tony Stark after Iron Man 2. Or did you forget that?
Okay, the
part?
Security council people will say some...
The ones who got to New York because they had no faith in the Avengers?
That doesn't mean they don't have no faith in Tony Stark.
Yes, it does.
That's exactly what it does.
I'm just saying that I feel like that's where it's going to go. That's all I'm saying.
Nah.
I don't see it. I'd probably see them using that not to put him in a position of power, but rather draw him back out of the spotlight for a little while and then probably inevitably replace him as their actor, I mean, RDJ. That would be a prime opportunity for them to scale back the primary Marvel Universe, put more obscure properties up, and then just kind of take that time to sort of regroup with the main properties like Cap and Thor and Iron Man. Because, you know, Chris Evans has said he doesn't want to do it forever. RDJ's getting to the end of his rope. I don't know about Chris Hemsworth. I feel like he could go on forever.
That's because it's the only thing that's been working for him.
He's got some fun things.
He's pretty good as James Kirk's dad in that first Star Trek movie for the first 5 minutes. So, you know.
Yeah, and that guy's gone.
He can always come back via Ghost. I'm just saying.
Right, sure.
I'm just saying James Kirk can see visions of his dad.
Well, okay. Well, hold on. Before we do all that, what do you guys think would be the catalyst for Civil War?
It's going to be Ultron. It's going to be Ultron. That's
my
guy.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, that even takes Tony out of the running even more because if Ultron
exactly.
is fall, why would
that
they
would
trust
make a whole lot of sense. Shit?
Okay, well, okay, now that you say that and you want to be logic into this, but whatever. Because they're not going to do Stanford unless they do. Unless Ultron blows up a place called Stanford, Connecticut, which I hope they don't because that keeps it too in U.S. and we've heard the story's going to be global. So it's obviously because – the government, after Ultron, the media is probably going to find out. The media already doesn't trust the superhero costumes, not everybody. You know, it's already been established that these people are not to be trusted with by some.
That's not true.
Not Yes, it has in the Avengers.
No, in the Avengers movies?
Yes.
I disagree with that.
In Avenger, at the end of Avengers, there was a congressman pointing out that who the fuck are these people? Why are we trusting
that
them?
That was that and congressman, and by and also, large.
And
they
then,
had a whole lot
then,
of
Winter, and then,
support
hold on,
for people.
Hold on. And of course, there's always going to be support for everything because they just fucking saved the city.
The number of people that didn't support them as opposed to those who did, the number
seed.
Of non-supporters were greatly outnumbered.
It's a seed. And what I'm saying is, and of course we know at the end of Cap 2 that the government is already looking at these people, that why should we trust you with the safety of the world now that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s gone? And of course Black Widow being the cocky woman she is, like, well, because we're the ones who can. You know, somebody, and while they may not show it on screen immediately, you're telling me that there's not people in the Marvel Universe's Congress who's like, these people are a fucking problem. If superhumans existed, I guarantee you there would be people lobbying.
Yeah, but your problem there is Black Widow is not considered a superhuman. Most people know Black Widow as being a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, not as being a member of the Avengers.
They would know, but they would lob her. She was with the Avengers in New York, so they would lob her with the Avengers.
Yeah, but the Avengers had nothing to do with the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D. aside from Captain
America. No, not
America
necessarily
being
the fall
there.
Of S.H.I.E.L.D., but because I guarantee you they'll write it as, because it's always like this in every superhero story.
That's what they'll do. See, you could write anything. I'm talking about what actually happened in the movies, okay? You can't say that about Black Widow, and you really can't. You have to jump through hoops and actually write in stuff that happened beforehand to tie them into the Avengers to say why people don't trust them. Now, you could do that, but it hasn't happened yet. As it stands right now, the Avengers basically have almost full support from everybody in regards to popular opinion.
I guarantee you that changes.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Age of
is the one that it's a bit shaky on, and I understand that. Of course, if you use your eyes, you know that should be the opposite.
Yeah, well, it's Hydra the entire time. But
right.
But I guarantee at the end of Ultron that that image will change, as it has to.
But even if we go with your idea, then how do you explain Tony Stark becoming the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. if he's guilty over what an Ultron did? So I mean,
that's just a guess.
How does that work, though, dude? Really? I mean, how does that work?
Because I forgot Ultron was created by Tony Stark. Because I'm just associating with how Civil War in the comics fell out.
It can't work that way. They don't have the superhuman base for that.
No, I get that. But that's just how I was going with, and they would just promote. Because let's face it, the people in charge have never always made the right decisions and elected the right people. Let's be
real
there,
too. Right.
So in that sense, putting Tony Stark in charge, I don't think it's that far-fetched. I think it's pretty far-fetched, but I don't think it's that far-fetched. So there you go.
Okay, so basically no real idea.
No, none of us do. We won't know until Age of Ultron comes out, and we'll all be at the midnight showing, ready to watch the awesomeness that is Ultron kicking ass.
Okay, stay out of my head, because that is what I planned on doing.
What we all planned on doing.
Well, except for John, who will probably see it later.
He'll be outside cranking the van to try to get to the theater on time.
No, he'll be packing the wagon. He has to get worried by being attacked by Indians on the way onto the theater.
Yeah, with Archie and the rest of the gang from Riverdale.
And then all of a sudden, Medicine Woman shows up out of nowhere.
Hey, come on, no one lay ya.
Hey,
All right, John, you want to say the final piece?
I'm just like, it would be cool to see Tony Stark in Cap 3, and while I liked the Civil War in the comics, I don't know if it really would work in the movie.
It doesn't have the Spider-Man element.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't have some of the stuff that would actually make it work.
It wouldn't have Reed, that betrayal of Reed, because they're...
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was because I didn't actually read the Spider-Man tie-ins, but I never got the impact of Spidey during that whole thing.
Well, Spidey was...
He was the only one who actually probably came out.
Well, Spidey
you
was...
You really should go back and read those.
Yeah.
Spider-Man fucked up so badly.
Yeah, well, Spider-Man...
Well, I mean, I know what he did. I read the main series. I just didn't read any of the tie-ins.
Like, he was... Like,
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he was the one... You know, he was the linchpin. He was basically... it's when he flipped sides to Cap, the war kind of turned tide, because up until then, the registry. Go read Civil War, because I don't want to recap Civil War right now. We even did a retrospective on it like a year ago, so go listen to that.
I already read Civil War.
Well, read it again. Nothing wrong with rereading shit.
Fuck you.
No, well, all I can say is this. Look, if they're going to do Civil War, then more than likely, I don't think it'll be about superhumans, but I think it'll probably be about who's in control and what they control. Because remember, in both Avengers and in Winter Soldier, Cap has a problem with how much authority S.H.I.E.L.D. has, which kind of goes to Cap in whatchamacallit, in the Ultimates. Okay, that Captain America kind of had issues with how much power was being acquired.
This isn't freedom. Yeah.
So I think that
he's clearly being set up as the opposition.
Yeah, I think he's gonna come in at old school. You know, look at rights being trampled. The level of intrusiveness, surveillance in American society, blah blah blah.
Yeah, drones. And
Tony Stark's gonna be looking at everything from
a
safety and security.
He's
no
future.
No. Well, yes, but we're talking about differences in viewpoints. Cap, personal rights, and Tony, security. And I think,
which is basically the modern debate everybody has now.
Lock and step. I think that's where the big fight will be. Calling it a civil war?
There's not enough superheroes out there.
There's only six of them. What are they going to do? Stab each other?
Well, they'll probably introduce new heroes. Yeah. We already got the
Legendary.
Yeah, the Guardians are going to show up exclusively.
You're fighting over this?
And he'll die. I really think that. But what I want to know is, who does Black Widow side with, and who does Falcon side with?
Falcon will definitely side with Cap. That's not an issue. I think if they
Black Widow's a coin flip.
That's what I'm saying. No, Sam, I don't think it's a question.
And on top of that, Hawkeye.
That'll be the big
Hawkeye
thing.
What is,
well, I think Natasha will try to play both sides to play up the spy thing. I do. I think she'll try to get information on both sides and see who plays out with whatever. Not saying she's selfish, but just because where does she stand to gain the most in terms of what favors her situation the most?
Okay, all right.
Sam's gonna side with Cap no matter what he does. That's just a fact. That's his friend. You know, after what he went through with him in Winter Soldier, I think he'll, and because like that's that whole soldier camaraderie since Wilson's a soldier in this universe, you have that going. So that's the fact.
And how does Bucky play in?
Because Bucky will probably be the wild card.
He'll probably, have
Bucky. He'll probably be the one to kill Cap. Either that or Crossbones.
That's not a bad thing, actually.
Hey, Crossbones is still in play.
Yeah, Crossbones. He'll have the mask this time.
Yeah.
But
I'm saying it now. The Return of the Red Skull. There you go.
Well, it'll probably be a new actor too, since Hugo Weaving doesn't want to come back, which is fine, because that's
they get a different actor, same voice. They just do it, digitize it. There you go. I'm saying it now.
All right. Well. Okay.
So
let's move on. John, you are up with individual reviews.
Okay. I've got Guardians 3000, it's the return of Taser's favorite version of the Guardians. They're back.
Minus one character.
Can I just say that the Scotty Young cover just was fucking amazing, according to people who have read the actual characters. I don't know about that.
Well, I'm looking at the cover, and I'm thinking it's Alex Ross that did the cover in the one I've got. So, yep, I was correct. Wow. I actually recognized somebody off the site. Yay. It's written by Dan Abnett, which means that's right there should be a good sign that it won't be too bad. And artist is Gerardo Sandoval, and colorist is Edgar Delgado, for all those who like to know that stuff. And starts out with this little girl going, what's happening? And in his location unknown, and she's like, being in this warfare, and then she's like, oh, great, now I'm dead. And then she hears Van Sastro talking to her, and he's like, look, we got to get out of here. We need to get away now. And, helping her escape, and I missed seeing him with Cap's shield. And So I'm already having a rush of nostalgia going, yay. And they're being attacked by Badoon, who for some reason in this reality are apparently badass instead of being, you know, Thanos' bitches in the mainstream reality. And you see the shield getting thrown, and it's, you know, and he's like, and the girl's like, okay, how does he even do that? And then he tells her to move. The other two Badoon warriors are still in. And I think Taser's favorite character pops up, Charlie 27. He's like, yeah, it's okay, they're gone, and bashes their heads together. And they start running, and they're still, it's just a constant running, trying to escape. And then you see Yondu, the original Yondu, and he does the nice little whistle thing with multiple arrows. And I think a little bit more badass compared to the one in the movie. And takes out three or four Badoon by himself. And then you see Mark Nix, who is one of my personal favorite characters. And, you know, fire and ice. He freezes one and he burns another. And they're just, you know, the Guardians are just all badass. And you see Starhawk doing his normal thing, taking people out. And it was nice to see that. And then they're still running. And they're just like, okay, we need to hurry up and get out of here because they're still being pursued by the Badoon. And then, well, you see all of a sudden the Badoon start attacking.
Is it wrong that when I see the word Badoon, I want to immediately say baboon?
Yeah, that's all right.
Do they look like baboons?
Kind of, sort of. You know, they do. They kind of look like they're on crack, but, you know. I'm putting up my seats and everything, and I'm telling them to fuck off, but, you know. You see Yondu getting blasted right through the torso, and he's dead. And then Lance Astor's like, no, we can't be dead. And, you know, all of a sudden you're all getting pissed, like, okay, we need to get out of here and all that. And Charlie 27 is trying to keep running. And then you see Starhawk and, get killed. And then you see Martin X getting beheaded by a Badoon. And good old Vance Astro got squished. And next you see Charlie and them trying to go, you know, make it to the deal. And then all of a sudden, blam, they're dead. Everybody's dead. And then all of a sudden, 30 minutes earlier, it's like a reboot. You know, a temporal time loop. Only this time,
Groundhog's Day.
Yep, it's Guardian okay. Groundhog's Day. And it flashes back to all the stuff that's been shown and shows the remains of the races that are still able to fight against the Badoon. You know, Guardian being the last Shi'ar, the Supreme Intelligence, you know, being the last of the Kree, and then there's a gentleman named King Peter, the Star-Lord of Spartax, rogue noble of a dead lineage, with a remnant war fleet at his command. You have a lady from the Night Vowed. I'm not familiar with them. Harold Stormfront of the Old Hunger, which I'm assuming is a Galactus thing. And Annihilata, the Mistress of the Negative Zone, who represents them because they don't want the Badoon coming into their space. And they're all talking. They're saying they have to go to the one place and rescue this person and get this going. And for some reason, the redhead's like, wait a minute, I'm getting the worst case sense of deja vu. And then they go to the deal, and then all of a sudden you're back at the first part of the issue. Only this time the difference is she's like, no, we can't get away. We die. I've seen this before. We die. So what we need to do is trying to escape doesn't work. It just gets us gacked. What we need to do is fight, and we have to fight now. And she picks up a gun and just starts blasting, and you see Vance Astro sitting there with the shield blocking shots. And it was interesting. I was not expecting the time loop part of the story, because sometimes that just is not one of my all-time favorite of sci-fi stuff, you know, even though I'm a big Doctor Who fan. And yes, I'm a dirty, stinking Whovian. You know, deal with it.
You. Sorry.
Yeah.
But kind of.
Yeah. But but I like the art was not too bad. I mean, it wasn't the best, you know, out there. But it was nice to see all the old classic Guardians, because I'm like Taser. I was I was a big fan of the original Guardians. I knew of them before Jim Valentino did the title in the 90s, which I highly recommend everybody out there looking for the trades on that. You'll like it. You get to see all the original characters. Yes, I can't remember her name. Nikki, is what her name is, Taser? Is the only one that's not there, and which is kind of disappointing, but you never know. You might see her in the next issue or the issue after that. It was a good
one. Or never, because she's dead.
Could be.
Nah, she wasn't dead.
That you know of. Maybe she died off panel.
I give this. I'll give this title, since I picked it off the rack, because there was nothing else to read, and other than I was going to pick up something from the Distinguished Competition, but they were sold out. I'll let Iggy know that it was the God stuff, and so I went ahead and asked.
I'm Reverend Iggy now. I like that.
Anyway. But I was going to say, I saw that and I was like, what the hell? Give it a try. And I thought, and I was like, okay, I can dig it. I'll go ahead and make a review of it. I highly recommend it, especially if you're an old school Guardians fan that was, how do we say this, disillusioned by the movie. I'm not naming anybody or anything. Taser. But
I thought you weren't naming anybody.
No, that's Taser.
Principles.
I don't have principles. I'm a Sooner.
You're talking to the guy making the Paul Walker and Bryan Singer jokes. You are far and away from principles, my friend.
Uh-huh. But
Paul Walker for the new Sunfire.
Yep.
Oh, he's not even Asian. He has to be. Shiro Yoshida has to be Asian.
Well, true. Okay,
oh, look at you. Have to be that guy making it have to be Asian.
Well, to be fair, yeah.
No, Paul Walker
for the new Sunspot.
Okay, fine. He's tan enough.
We already have Sunspot.
He's dead,
Just say Ghost Rider and be done with it.
Yeah. But anyway, I give this issue a 3.5, mainly because it was a nostalgia factor. Once again, the Ku Klux Klan's dream. Or nightmare, depending on how you go with it.
Pusty!
But I give it a 3.5. I'm a big fan of Dan Abnett's writing. I have been since he wrote the original Deathhead 2 ongoing back in Marvel UK. The art, it's still a little eh, but it was not bad. And I might try out number 2 and see where this goes, because, like I said, I'm a big fan of the original Guardians, and it would be nice to see something cool with them for right now, and maybe introduce a new generation to them, because I plan on showing my kids. Because I keep telling them it's not a Rocket Raccoon or Groot that formed that group for me. So,
but that's my review. So when does Rocket Raccoon show up?
I don't know.
He's in the present. He'll be. These guys are in the future.
So when does Rocket Raccoon show up?
As a stuffed animal for the collector,
What about Drax? When does he show up? I like Drax. Gamora?
Drax fine.
What about
Drax
Star-Lord?
Drax fine, because Star-Lord, they just mentioned Star-Lord. That there is a Star-Lord in there, but it was kind of a slap in the face on the character, because he's the last brave ancestor of a former noble lineage. And they might show some of the other Guardians in there, but it would have to be the ones that can be potentially immortal. Drax might be. Groot, depending on how long living a tree race can be. And those are about the only two I would see coming in here, unless they do the whole time travel.
So when does Rocket Raccoon show up?
And Rocket Raccoon in his own title. Go read that one.
It's not Guardians if there's not a Rocket Raccoon in it, that's all I'm saying.
Uh-huh. Oh, dear God.
Who Scotty Young was calling out with his variant cover.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
The world needs more Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Hey, I'm a big Rocket Raccoon fan, because from his days from being in the Incredible Hulk. But I was about the age that my kids are now when his first appearance came out. So.
All right.
I'm an ancient.
There you go. Another Spacey title. I'm the agent.
Scotty Young ruined Rocket Raccoon. I'm saying it.
Fuck you.
There you go. I'm saying it.
All right. Did. So
and
I'm
that
going
book
from
funny animal book.
From one book, I'm going to review My new personal favorite Marvel book, in a way, Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel?
Miss Marvel.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, apparently, I've only been reading the past two issues, and the trade is already out. But I didn't know this, but I think I was assumed she knew she was Inhuman because we knew, but I didn't know she didn't know she was an Inhuman. So this issue, after a recent tussle where she had a problem with her powers, also she calls one of her attacks in Bigot Fist of Rage, proving that she is in fact just showing off her fangirl pride like there's no other business, and I love it. She gets weakened during the attack and out of the immense rubble, and her secret identity may or may have not been discovered. It's not really sure. But Medusa comes out of nowhere with Lockjaw and basically teleports her back to New Adeline, which is apparently New York. Why don't I know about this?
Because you're not reading Inhuman.
That's true. I didn't know this is a thing. Apparently it's just there. It's just there? So
yeah.
Kamala is encased in, in sort of a this guy put it, I don't even know what his name is, neuropeptides and oxygen, sort of as like it supports her healing ability. And so basically this is the sort of, here's where you're really from kind of talk, when Medusa tells her that she's an Inhuman, that your ancestors were imbued with Inhuman DNA from a long time ago when the Kree first came down to Earth. What's funny is that, I don't know if you've ever seen this little animation thing, but there's this animator who put up a quick YouTube video of Final Fantasy VII, and there's a bit where Cloud basically says, "Let's go, my chocolate comrade," to the big black guy, and he goes, "Chocolate," and Cloud says, "Yeah, because you're black," and he goes, "I'm what?" I should have said earlier is because he says that he's colorblind, he doesn't know he's black. So that's what I got from the scene. That
the
Kamala...
fuck is it, Tyrone Biggums? What the fuck is going on?
I'll link the YouTube video to you later. It's pretty funny.
That just sounds like a Dave Chappelle skit.
It's funny, trust me. It's the animation that sells it. So basically she gets the sort of puberty talk in a way. It's sort of the puberty talk and how her powers are going to
develop. Sweetie, your body's going to be going through some changes. Yeah, that whole bit.
But Lockjaw is still her pet, and they basically send her back, and you know, apparently the humans are going to play a role in this. And of course, she gets the typical, where have you been from the parents? You know, we were concerned about you. We thought you were dead, and you know, giant robots, and we thought America was peaceful and nice, but now it's gang shootings, giant robots, and all this other shit, you know, because they're from Pakistan, I believe. She gets her brand new costume, and without even a moment's hesitation, she finds out where these people have been experimented on, and so she takes them there, or she goes there for a big fight. Lockjaw actually gets in the action, which is pretty freaking hilarious. I just love seeing Lockjaw just sort of playing around. In fact, there's a couple panels of him just like sort of just being a dog, and I love dogs. So it's just like it's the biggest puppy in the world. Luckily, she's able to stop the threat. But it turns out the biggest twist in this issue is that she thought she was rescuing these people from the inventor who was turning these people into the giant robots. Turns out these people are all volunteers.
So what a shockingly unique twist.
So it's like, huh? So, like, she's even a little shocked. Even Lockjaw has the little kind of thing going on. So
he's got the Scooby-Doo, the...
Not really. It's he's in the background, but it's clearly, like, that's what he looks like. I am so having so much fun with this book. I don't know what it is about it. I think it's a combination of that Kamala's a great a fun character. The art's great. And this the story just doesn't... It just... While it's not the most original thing in the world, it just feels... fresh, I guess. I'm not really sure how to put it, but I feel entertained every time I read it. Maybe it's because I like young superhero stories, and this is what this is at the heart of it all. Plus, again, Lockjaw doesn't hurt either. So yeah, I encourage everybody go read Ms. Marvel. It's a fun.
You know
book.
What it is?
What
I think Ms. Marvel. There's not a lot of angst, like serious superhero, big, deep, powerful, you know, angst. It's coming of age, and it's lighthearted.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And that's a change of pace from 90% of the other Marvel. Like 95% of the Marvel books out there. So
well, 95% of comic books, period.
Agreed. So I think it's providing that break for you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why that works, which, hey, man, shoot, if it works, then it works.
Yeah.
I applaud that as it stands because you don't have enough books like that. Everything tries to be nice and deep and serious and, you know, mangry and whatever.
Sometimes you want to have a good time.
Exactly. You know, they need to, and I've said this before and I've seen other people repeat it, they need to put out books like Power Pack. You know, you've got the superhero adventure, but it's serious without being grimdark. You know, it's got some lightheartedness, it's got some fun to it. You know, and they kind of need to do a bit of that now. You know, just a bit, like maybe two more books like that, and I think that would be a good balance to like everything else out there. But as it is, Ms. Marvel, she fills that niche, and you know, yeah, I could recommend Ms. Marvel just for that, even though I do have problems with her because she's annoying.
But she's a young girl who's a fan. I can see why she's annoying. Like, I think if I was around her, I'm like, oh, God, shut up. I get it. I get it. You love Cap. You love superheroes. But from a reading standpoint, she's funny. I think it's hilarious because and while I don't like I think she's hilarious because most superheroes are not like this. You know, she's a person who loves the culture. In fact, I think there was an issue, I'm not sure when it was, where she was actually singing the theme song for the Avengers cartoon, the first one. Not the 90s one, but the one that came out before Assembled.
Oh, Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
Yeah, she was actually singing the theme song. I'm like, Yeah, because that's the kind of shit I did in high school. I didn't listen to typical music. I listened for music from, like, movies or stuff like that. I'm a nerd. She's awesome, and I hope this book stays around a long time. I'll be
guys. Happy. Iggy sees himself in Kamala.
No, not like that. No,
he sees himself in Kamala.
Although
we done cracked it.
God damn it!
Are you there, Inhuman God? It's me, Kamala.
Am I going?
Notice Kamala's a shape changer. So
that's creepy. Stop doing that. Am I going to go to my living room and Chris Hansen's going to be there? Have a seat there. Have a seat. Miss Marvel, check out Miss Marvel.
No, I agree with you, dude. It's a good book that fills a good niche. So
and I love my grim and gritty. I said this the last time I reviewed the issue.
Because you still read Batman.
Hey, I still love my grim and gritty. I still love my spooky stories. I still love my what does this mean in the larger extent of the universe. But sometimes, fuck it, I want to see a superhero just hit something, you know? I like abstract external shit enough, but just punch something.
I like seeing superheroes who smile every now and again.
Nah. I don't like to smile, so my superheroes don't smile. That would be my edict if I was editor-in-chief of any comic company. Don't have them.
Oh, God,
smile.
You're that asshole like Bendis.
What? I don't know. I don't know what you mean. I honestly don't.
Bendis went on record. I'm not sure if it was recently or a little while ago. He said superheroes shouldn't be happy, basically. They should
I remember that. Yeah, I think that was Bendis.
Was that Bendis? Let's confirm that before we start saying slander.
Yeah.
All right, well, sounds like an Alan
Moore. I was kind of taken aback by that, too, because, you know, that's the poster Deadpool. He would love that because everything is grim dark.
I get that. I don't mind when a character's happy, but sooner or later they're going to rip it all away anyways, so who knows. That's how it usually works.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be that way.
But that's how sometimes usually it works. You nice things, nice things, nice things, and rip it all away. Nice things, and rip it all away.
But you don't have to do
no,
that.
No, but that's what the cliche falls into, so, and they're not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Brian, close us out.
Oh, Jason's not reviewing?
No, he's not. You got to pay attention, son.
I'm just here for the color commentary.
Ha! Fair enough. All right, folks.
Emphasis on the word color.
We are at the end. We are at the end, ladies and gentlemen. Death of Wolverine, part four of.
Who kills him? Just say it. Who kills him? How does he die? When does he die? And how much? How much is my issue going to be worth in 20 years?
A little build up, please.
No, fuck.
I'll say this: he gets the nickname Lumpy.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so we start in the issue with Wolverine driving through the desert towards the base of Cornelius Abraham. The scientist has been tracking down everybody who has in possession of adamantium or pretty much associated with Weapon X or that sort of thing.
You mean the Weapon Plus program?
Well, however you want to phrase it.
No, it's the Weapon Plus program. There is no way to phrase it.
It's the Weapon X program, Iggy.
Nope, Weapon Plus.
He works for Weapon... Never mind. Anyway... So the first few pages of the book are your general hack and slash. It's Wolverine basically fighting his way through a bunch of military armed guards and up to the stairs to get to Cornelius. Once he gets there, he finds that Cornelius is sort of in keeping with his past profession, which is experimentation on people, as he has three people strapped down to a table forcibly, we'll learn later on, and preparing to be sort of ripped open and sort of experimented on, the same vein that Wolverine was. Wolverine confronts him, asks him what he's doing, why is he doing this, and Cornelius goes on to say that he is doing the work on these people because he doesn't want Wolverine, the Wolverine, to be his lasting legacy in life. Because he pretty much says his only success in life was making a killer unkillable, which is Wolverine. So he sort of wants to rectify that. And how he does so is that he and his group of privately funded, government funded, a little bit of both, they go around and they find ideal candidates, that is, peak athletes, military personnel, government agents, those kinds of people, drag them into this lab and try to turn them into these, compliant government agents. You know, he's trying to create a new sort of superpowered army for which to build his new legacy upon. And he wants to do it in a way that... he wants to build something. He doesn't want his legacy to be that of, arming a destroyer. Because his thinking here is that giving Wolverine the adamantium claws and skeleton and all that, it just created a way for his creation to destroy everything. He doesn't want to be remembered for that. He wants to create a legacy that is of building, of, making people safer. But he's going about that in the typical mad scientist way by kidnapping people, experimenting on them, and brainwashing them to become compliant, sort of super soldiers, so to speak, super-powered people. Now, what I love about this is that once Wolverine, figures out that this guy's pretty much off his rocker, he's done this because, he's crazy, he wants a different legacy, but also that he's gone through hundreds of people. Because he's been working for years at this. So once he realizes his body count's in the triple digits, he realizes this guy's got to die. And the people on the tables are getting prepared to receive the same treatment that Wolverine received, which is lacing their skeleton with adamantium. The problem is, not everybody can survive this. Namely, nobody with a healing factor can survive this because it ultimately overwhelms the body and kills them. So... what he wants Wolverine for is not just the adamantium, but also he wants Wolverine's healing factor.
Oh, surprise.
Wolverine kind of sees this, chuckles, cuts his hand and presses it against a glass window that's all that's keeping Cornelius from Wolverine, is a kind of a plate glass window. Presses his wounded hand against the glass and Cornelius watches it bleed. He's kind of confused, like, why isn't it? Trails off to that. And Wolverine just goes, "Yeah, sorry, bub." And ultimately, realizing that Wolverine is of no more use to him, he orders Major Sharp, a soldier who willingly volunteered for one of these experiments, to kill Wolverine, and who has been hiding in plain sight this whole time, and comes at Wolverine basically with the force of a freight train. And this guy doesn't have a choice in what he's doing, not anymore anyway. He might have volunteered for it, but ultimately his free will is gone. But he's also in this decked-out bodysuit with this energy field surrounding him, and he's looking like your sort of, standard government-created commando-type deal. And
Suburban Commando?
No, not really.
Bionic Commando?
No, not really.
Were you frozen today?
Oh, gosh. So as Wolverine is trying and failing to put up a fight against Major Shark, Cornelius begins the process to cut these people open and replace their skeletons with adamantium, or layer them with adamantium. And it's really kind of a really, really like great monologue for this guy Cornelius, because the entire time he's trying to justify for Wolverine what he's doing, because it's all Wolverine's fault for what he did. You know, he gave him the tools he needed to be an unkillable killer, and it backfired on him, and now this is all Wolverine's fault because he had to go and ruin his legacy, blah, blah, blah. And he is determined to see this through to the end. So as these people are being are preparing to be torn open, Wolverine's trying to fight back and get a hand leg up on this guy. Major Shark throws a punch, Wolverine dodges, and it cracks the window guarding Cornelius from Wolverine. Wolverine slices him in the back of the head with his claws, and then he prepares to go after Cornelius. Before Wolverine goes after him, he warns Cornelius to turn the machines off. Cornelius ultimately refuses, and he starts channeling the adamantium to be layered into their skeleton. So, in order to save these people from dying, Wolverine proceeds to where the adamantium is being held in this chamber, and he cuts tubing that will pump the adamantium into their bodies. However, as a side effect, it also causes the adamantium, the molten adamantium, to spill out all over Wolverine and cover him in the stuff. So now he is literally covered in this adamantium, and he sees the proto-healing serum that Kitty gave him a couple issues back, and he pretty much injects it into each of the people, and then he leaves after that. So he saved their lives, and now he's going after Cornelius still.
He's still alive. So Wolverine's still alive, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's covered in adamantium. He's smoking. His claws are popped, but he's still alive.
Is he purring?
No, he's not saying much of anything.
Oh.
We get some thought bubbles, which have been a thing throughout, where it's basically him, what he senses through his nose and his hearing and stuff. And, yeah. So Cornelius makes to the roof to try to escape. However, he realizes he's been wounded after the glass window shattered, and he sort of, like, is falling to the ground. He can't make it. The pilot tries to go and help him. However, when he goes to help him, he sees coming out of the doorway this steaming, dripping, just rugged-looking Wolverine coming at him, claws popped, ready to kill. The pilot goes to reach for his gun, but ultimately backs away in fear, and he runs away, leaving Cornelius there. And so seeing that he's kind of at the end of his rope, Cornelius begins to just scream at him, you know, at least I tried. I tried to make something. I tried to change the world. What did you ever do but kill people? What did you ever do? And, you know, sort of screaming, you know. And it cuts to kind of a two-page spread of a nice little thing where it's got clips of Wolverine all throughout his career, pretty much from his birth. It's got him in World War II, got him in Japan, got him debuting as Wolverine. It's got him within the eye patch gangster era. It's got him making out with Jean Grey. It's got him, you know, teaching at the Jean Grey school. And we don't see him stab Cornelius, but we're given a pretty clear picture that Cornelius is dead. And so in answer to the question, what did you ever do? Wolverine finally says, in his mind, he said, he's done enough. And as the sun rises over the desert, Wolverine, dripping on his knees, the adamantium finally cools, pardons, and with what appears to be a bit of a rueful smile on his face, Wolverine dies. And that is the end of Wolverine, of Death of Wolverine number 4.
So who took the odds on who took the odds on death by adamantium? Who took the odds? Anybody? Anybody?
Was there a pool going? I wasn't aware.
There was a pool going, and I lost major.
Oh, what'd you bet?
Omega Red decapitation.
Oh, that's right. You did say that, didn't you?
Yeah, I lost.
I thought you were silly. No. Taser, what did you bet on? Taser.
I take Taser's in consequenta in Nagrata.
I think he's Oh, there he is. Hey, what did you bet on being the Death of Wolverine?
Repeat that?
What did you put your money on for being the cause of death for Wolverine?
Honestly, until I took a peek somewhere, I really had no idea. I had none. And then when I found out and saw it, I went, Lame.
So, yeah.
That but he's dead, though, right? He's dead. That's just his body.
Yeah, he didn't have his, he doesn't have his healing factor anymore to compensate, so he died essentially by asphyxiation. The adamantium covered him and solidified him, and so Wolverine is definitely
so he's
dead,
a glory,
at least for the time being.
So
until they dig him out.
So he's... They'll probably write it that his healing factor kicks in at some point.
Probably, yeah, which would be a lame way to do it, that, but it'll be okay.
Either, whatever. So he's basically the Stanley Cup now, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what he looks like. Are people going to write their names in him? And, like, are they going to take pictures?
Oh, that's mean.
Are they going to drink pigeons beer? Gonna, oh, come on. Are they going to drink beer out of him?
Little pigeons are going to perch on his head and crap on his shoulder, and there's going to be graffiti sprayed all over.
I would like to point this out. All right, granted, this happened when he had his healing factor, but didn't Wolverine die, like, twice in his life and was brought back both times?
Via spiritualness by one time, I know that.
And the hand.
And the hand, but this time, I think the circumstance... I don't know, because I don't think he's... I think he's dead, but I think they're going to write... They're obviously going to write it in some way where he somehow survived it all.
Yeah.
Or they clone him a new body altogether, which is possible.
Let me ask you this. Was there anybody around when that happened to him?
No. Nobody he's familiar with. Just Cornelius and him, pretty much.
Okay. Well, all I'll say is this. His X-Men communicator will probably have GPS signal and alert Storm.
Well, I know that...
Oh, they already did that, Taser, and the last issue of Storm came out with this issue. So her response is already logged.
Every single time, you had to have read Death of Wolverine, and then you read all the stuff.
Ah,
literally. Right. Marvel...
They already released issue. I think it was one of the Logan Legacy, which is basically every major Wolverine related character, like Sabretooth and X-23 and Dawkins, and that already got off to kind
Dawkins
of a weird
dead,
start.
Though.
Well, he isn't easy.
Oh, he's still the APOC.
How
is he still APOC?
No, he's not. He's not even the Age of APOC. He's not even the Apocalypse guy in the Logan Legacy. I don't
know
what happened.
He's just regular Dawkins?
Yeah.
What?
He seems perfectly fine.
When the fuck?
Montag lieben Gotten Logan.
Well, sorry. Okay, considering that they kind of rewrote history, maybe. I don't fucking know. They did they did rewrite history, to be fair.
They did.
So
they
maybe.
Did.
Maybe.
I don't know. If I may.
Actually, you're right. That none of that happened because they did rewrite history. Because they went back right before the Horseman happened thingy, I think. I'm pretty
if
sure.
If I may.
No, they didn't. Never mind. I don't even know anymore.
Please go ahead, Bri.
Thank you. Did either of you pick up the Logan Legacy or check it out?
No. Not at all.
Was that no Iggy? Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Basically... I'll keep it brief. The setup for the issue is like the first four or five issues are all going to be issues flashing back from the first issue of the Logan Legacy, featuring what every character was doing at the moment when they found out Logan died.
So it's a fill-in book, huh?
Well, no. What happens is basically the way it's framed is that word of Wolverine's death has already begun to spread in the Logan Legacy, the first issue, and all the characters were investigating it or running into things on their own terms, and so that sort of. It starts off with them all being forcibly brought together, and then the first few issues are going to go back and look at what they were doing when they were brought together, or before they were brought together, rather, and after Wolverine was dead. So.
Okay. So Wolverine's dead. That means he's... Yep. So Wolverine's gone. Logan's technically passed on, death by asphyxiation. So there you go. I'm going to pour one out to Logan-san. Some sake. Because he's Japanese, you know?
But he's also Canadian. So
he was Japanese by way of Canada.
And according to one webcomic, he was Jesus Christ.
He was also a Neanderthal.
Yeah, there was a webcomic where it's just like a person walking out like the gravestone, and then like Ollie says, "I gotta go, bub." And then you see the hand. I'm like, and he says, "Bub." I'm like, what?
He was also the guy who came 2 inches from gut stabbing Carol Danvers. For trying to get slick with him. They was having an argument over who would win in a fight, the astronaut or the caveman. And Carol Danvers was, well, of course the astronaut would win. He's smart and he has access to this, that, and the other. And he's like,
Yeah, but he doesn't have that with him. Meanwhile, the caveman is stronger, faster, and more vicious, and will beat him with his bare fists. Danvers did not like that answer.
No, well, she loves her fly boys.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right. Well, that's going to conclude another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Before we go, though, in case you missed the announcement earlier this month, Mr. Dragon and I have been doing Halloween month for our video game site, our video game blog, marvelousleague.wordpress.com, in which case, up right now, you can see reviews for Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, Dead Rising 2, and Puppeteer, and this Wednesday, Dragon uploads the latest review for the original Silent Hill for the PlayStation 1, in which case I will follow suit with the critically acclaimed and much beloved among fan base, Resident Evil 4. Following that, Dragon wraps up next Wednesday with his review of one of his favorite games, Dark Souls. You've probably heard of that somewhere. And then I conclude it all on Halloween night with a review of the Castlevania title that shook up the franchise, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. So there you go. Check those out. Please check those out. Let us know what you think. Critique our reviews. Let us know if you agree, disagree. Just comment. Also, if you like my reviews there, I'm a reviewer for thegreenlanterncore.com. And in case you aren't aware, a certain crossover started, so it's going to be a lot of busy, busy content on there. Reviews galore. Also, if you're into Earth 2, there's Earth 2 reviews on there with not only Earth 2, the monthly book, but also the weekly chapter, the weekly book. And then, of course, because I want to do it, it's a personal project of mine, I'm also personally reviewing the Multiversity series. So there's that. So tons of content for me all over the internet, plus this podcast I do with these guys who I love to do my podcast with. You guys have anything to plug, or do I got to seem like a busybody?
Nah, I'm good.
I'm going to say Haley Atwell.
Nice.
Also, Gemma from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's a cutie, so her too.
Okay. Nice.
All right, well, that being said...
Keeping it classy.
That being said, let us know who you think Tom Hardy should be in X-Men Apocalypse. Let us know who should be Doctor Strange. Also, let us know how do you feel about Civil War or Tony not being Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and who should be Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. if not. Because there's no way. We all love Coulson, but there's no way Coulson's going to stay that job forever.
Let it be Hawkeye, the only guy who missed the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Also, I would like to say this. I'd like to dedicate this episode to Tim. To our friend Tim.
Yeah, Tim. Spider Lantern.
Yes.
Tim Lantern.
Who shall be called Tim from now on.
Spider Tim.
Spider Tim. Spider Tim.
All right, guys. We will see you all next week for another thrilling, exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3.
Ooh, Iggy, don't forget to plug our countdown coming up pretty soon. That's going to start.
Also, in case, obviously, the March to 200 begins, this is episode 183. Beginning with episode number 189, that is six more episodes, we will be counting down our top 10 favorite Marvel stories of all time. So if you want to follow along with us or you want to create your own top 10, that's when it's going to start and you can start revealing it for everybody. So bear in mind, the March to 200 continues, ladies and gentlemen. Until then, have a nice week. Have a nice drive. Have a nice commute. And just have a good day. Also, don't forget, have a good day.
Peace.
Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in my load. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Now with 100% entire cast.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your...
Steve Cups.
yes, that. Cut. Fuck, it threw me off so bad.
Oh, Jesus. This is already a train wreck.
3, 2, 1. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to yet another thrilling episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Before we get to the formalities, fuck! I'm too busy distracted by John Hamm's handsomeness on my television. Leave me alone.
Do we want to know?
Just a commercial for God damn it. Okay. Three.
John Hamm's sexiness. Oh, I can't do a show now.
Ben wants that money ball.
You couldn't just say Mad Men? Okay. Three. Let's do this one more time. All right. I'm going to look away from the TV now.
Oh, give me that $1 million arm.
Oh, Johnny.
That being said, John Hamm for Doctor Strange. 3, 2.
He's one of the few not, actually.
I know.
Doctor Strange.
3, 2, 1.